Matt Bowen.
Are you ready?
Breaking down the X's and O's of the game. The National Football Post. Twitter.com/MattBowen41. Matt Bowen with Mully and Hanley on 670 The Score.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Let's get out to the Score Hotline brought to you by the Cube Sports Bar inside Rivers Casino. Join the fun at the Cube for college basketball action. And there we find Matt Bowen. He's a regular contributor on the show. You, of course, read him in the Chicago Tribune, also the National Football Post, nfpost.com. And Matt, you find yourself in the center of this so-called bounty gate. You played for Greg Williams. You wrote about this, a great story in the Chicago Tribune. How are you this morning, Matt?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
We appreciate you coming on. And I said this earlier, and I'm getting killed by a lot of texters, but, you know, when I was a little kid playing football in grammar school, we got, you got basically a football if you created a turnover. You got right. yourself a skull and crossbones if you had a sack or if a tackle mm-hmm. for loss. I mean, to me, this so-called bounty thing is really more about rewarding, acknowledging, maybe motivating people to play a certain way than it is about beating the salary cap, trying to secretly pay guys and some of the more nefarious things that you think of when you hear about this system. Am I wrong to view it that way?
No, not at all, Mike. And I agree with that. And part of the reason I wrote that column for the Sunday Trib was to kind of explain how it really went down. I know Greg's getting a lot of heat for this, and Greg deserves it. I give him a lot of credit for coming out and being very brutally honest about it when asked about the Saints situation and owning up to it. I have a lot of respect for him for doing that. You guys know what I think of Greg. I've talked about him on your show multiple times. I think very highly of him. I wrote that in my column. He's the best coach I've ever played for, but we did have motivational tools. That's exactly what we have, and they were player-run, and the money came from a player fine system. You know, if you were late to practice, you missed an assignment in practice, you went up to the board during meetings and you screwed up, and they need to add to the pot. And it was all player money. It was paid out by players. Should Greg have stopped it? Probably, yeah. And he should have stopped it in New Orleans as well, which he admitted to. But I also wrote these were good, clean hits, Mike. I mean, we weren't trying to maim guys. We're trying to knock guys out of the game, yeah. If that's considered a competitive advantage, and that's what we did. But, you know, I'm not real proud of it, but I also know when you're playing in that situation, when you're a professional football player and you live in that culture, yeah, I liked it back then, Mike. I liked it a lot. I liked the swagger of it. I liked that we had a defense that when you turn the tape on other teams would say, man, these guys play hard, and they're physical, they hit, and if you don't keep your head on straight, they're going to take you out of the game. And I think we all bought into that. We played better as a defense. And now the heat's coming down, and I've taken a lot of heat myself too, Mike. I mean, I've been called things you wouldn't believe. I've been called a rat, a snitch. I've had, you know, people threaten me on Twitter and Gmail and other email accounts, Redskins fans, Saints fans, saying that I've, you know, tried to take down Greg Williams, which is not my intention.
I thought you defended him. Yeah, I mean, honestly, yeah. I don't think...
I would echo what Mully said. It's compelling reading. It's written from the heart. It's passionate. And you have nothing but the utmost respect for Greg, and I understand that. And I just my whole take on this thing, Matt, is this game is physical enough. I understand the incentive. I understand the Buckeyes on the helmet, Ohio State. Mm-hmm. I understand going back to eighth grade basketball, and we had pride oranges where if you did something in practice, you could go over there and get a slice of orange. I mean, just little things to reward you. I understand that. But the terminology, I guess, carting a guy off, that implies that you want to send a guy to the trainer's room, if not the hospital. And this game, as you played it, is physical enough. It does maim people, even within the rules. And if you're playing to the echo of the whistle, it's a slippery slope. What $10,000, if that is accurate on Brett Favre's head, I don't care how much money you're making a year, that's going to get your attention.
No, it is. It is. And I never saw that type of money when I was in Washington. I mean, I can't talk about when we went inside the New Orleans locker room. But I know in our locker room, yeah, sure. We had quote-unquote bounties. If you want to call them bounties, that's what they were. But the money was never that high. I know that for a fact. But we did play. We did push the envelope. And I wrote in the Trib as well, if if going low on a guy and chopping him, running back down by his knees, you know, got me rewarded or got any of my teammates rewarded, and that was part of our culture, then we did it. You know, like I said, it was a chapter of my life I'm not proud about, but at the time, you know, I ate it up. I was full go in that system. I think everyone was in Washington because we loved our defense coordinator so much, and we would do anything for him, and we wanted to impress him. We wanted to play with that style.
What happens to him now? He's going to New York today, and they're you know, again, supposedly they informed the team last year that they were investigating this, mm-hmm. and yet the practice continued. You know, I don't know. I worry for the guy because they're going to make an example of the Saints. You know, I think it was John Clayton wrote online that this is worse than Spygate because it wasn't just one game or it wasn't mm-hmm. just a singular thing. You're talking about injuring people. You're talking about knocking them out of the game in an environment where the league's obsessed with concussions. I mean, how much of a scapegoat do they make Greg into, and how much do they charge the Saints? I mean, they'll take more than just a first round pick from him, and the price tag for this will be pretty heavy.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. A ton. I think it's going to be a ton. Yeah. More so the Saints than Greg. I think that's going to be the intention of the commissioner and the league office is to send a clear message because they have an opportunity now with something that's been going on forever. And everyone has to be able to agree with that. You go back and for Bears fans when Charles Martin slammed Jim McMahon. Yeah. I mean, this has been going on for a long, long time in football. But now that it's out in the open, yeah, someone's going to pay. It's going to be draft picks. It's going to be fines. You know, Greg could see a suspension. But I would think, you know, knowing Greg personally and having played for him and having a relationship with him over the years since I played for him, I think he's going to stand up and take it. And that's just part of what is going on now as he's got to pay the price for it.
And depending what Roger Goodell ends up doing with Greg, what if you're the St. Louis Rams? What if he gets half a year or more suspension? Do you move on without him? Do you say, well, thanks, Greg, but no thanks. We can't have you waltzing in here in week 9. We got to get someone in here right away?
That's a great question because, you know, Jeff and Greg, Jeff Fisher, have a great relationship too. So this is very tough. You know, that's a team that's probably going to trade out of the number 2 spot. They're going to have a lot of draft picks. They have an opportunity to really turn their season around. And they need Greg. They need him a lot to come in there and coach those guys up and change, you know, change from what was going on last year in St. Louis, it's going to be tough. They might have to bring someone else in, or they might have to have an assistant step up for a while until he comes back.
Let me ask you this, and I know this is going to sound crazy, but the Giants had a playoff game against San Francisco, and
right.
and they talked after the game, after Kyle Williams, the son of Kenny Williams, had fumbled a couple times. They talked right. about how the special teams coaches and the scouts had given them the report, and it said that, hey, if you hit this kid hard enough, he'll drop the ball on you. So
right.
they went down, and they hit that. They knocked the heck out of him, and they went after the ball, and the kid dropped the ball a couple times. Now they didn't offer him $10,000. They didn't offer him $1,000 to get a fumble.
Know.
Well, I'm just saying, as far as we know. But they did give him a scouting report that included hit him hard. I guess it's a fine line, but is the difference, you know, you go into a game against Brett Favre, and you know if you knock him out of the game, you got a much better chance of winning than
right.
if Brett Favre's playing. So you go after him, and you try to knock him out of the game. I'm sure players talk about that all the time. We got to get this guy. Is there a difference? What is the difference, I guess, when you put 10 grand up in front of it? Are players going to go after him harder? It's just a motivational tool. I'm not saying it's right.
Right.
I'm not saying that. And I think that it's wrong to kind of look at the league and think that it's you know, Marcus of Queensbury's rules and the gentleman's game, and we're all, oh, fine, sir, let me help you up. We see
right.
some of that, but it's a vicious, wretched sport where you're trying to get the ball out of a guy's hands at all costs.
No, I definitely agree. And, the first thing, Mike, it's not right. It's an ugly tradition in the NFL. I always say that. But I think with the money to it, that's when it becomes kind of a gray area. That's when you're crossing that line, because every game you're going to try to, as a defensive player, try to play with that violent streak. You know, I always call it controlled violence, but you're trying to take people out. That's what you do as a defensive football player in this league. Is you try to put guys down, you finish them to the ground, you try to do it cleanly, but your ultimate goal, sure, if you're playing a top-tier quarterback, top-tier running back, wide receiver, is to get them out of the game.
But let me ask you this, Matt, because in hockey, they've gone through this too with the hits from behind, hitting guys into the glass, and we've seen head injuries and everything else. And to the point where in Pee Wee hockey, you have stop signs on the back of the jersey.
Right.
Respecting the game, I know it's a vicious game, but respecting your opponent. I mean, if you're going out there to get a guy carted off, I mean, that implies you want him to be laid up or laid out. And to me, that's a fine line. This game is just physical and difficult enough.
But there's a difference. There's a difference between going for a guy's knee on purpose to try to hurt him, or just trying to hit him as hard as you humanly can.
But Matt admitted going on, going at guys' lower legs. I mean, just because that's what everyone expects you to do.
Right. No, but there's a difference between Pee Wee hockey and the NFL. That's the big thing. Is this is a win at all cost mentality. If you're a player, I mean, if you're a guy like me, you're not a superstar. You're just a guy. You know you're not going to play for 15 years. You know you're not going to go to Pro Bowls. You do what you have to do to stay on the team, to win games, to improve yourself, to look good in the coach's eyes. And it's an ugly culture. I really believe that. And sometimes fans don't want to hear that stuff. They don't want to hear the dirty side of these professional sports. But this is part of it in the NFL. This is part of it. You put a helmet on, you put pads on, and the guys in front of you, you put him down. You put him down hard. You try to take him down. And that's what I was taught, and that's what everyone's taught as a defensive player. And like I said, it's not Little League football. This is NFL's professional football. You get paid money, and if you don't perform, you don't produce, you get cut, your coaches get fired, and everyone gets cleaned out. So you do what you have to do to survive at times. And I'm not saying it's right, guys. I'm really not. I'm not proud of it. I mean, I was sitting there last night talking with my wife, and I said, I can't believe some of the stuff I did playing football. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I've been around the league too much because it doesn't surprise me that this was going on. And the thing that people don't understand is when you see, a defensive lineman from Detroit trying to clean a guy's head out, that's what makes him a great player. And I know that sounds horrible, but Ndamukong Suh is better at his position than other guys because he is meaner and nastier and he is more dangerous than other guys. It's not right, and he's gotten fined. And, James Harrison is a guy that got into the league as an undrafted free agent, was cut a few times, and learned that if you want to be in the NFL, you got to have the mentality of tearing guys' heads off. He's been fined massively. He didn't do it for extra money. He didn't do it for an extra $1,000.
He did it for another contract.
He did it, yes, to stay alive and to stay in the game and all the rest of it.
Right, and when you turn the tape on as opposing player and you see those two guys, you say, man, this guy is going to clean me up this week. And that's part of it. That's part of it as a player, to put that stuff on film, whether it's by the rules or a little stepping over the line like we've seen with Harrison, we've seen with Ndamukong Suh. That stuff resonates throughout the NFL. And everyone who lines up to play those guys knows that if they're not at their best, if they take a playoff, this guy is going to put you down. They're going to put you down hard. And it's not fun. It's not nice. And both of those players have been singled out, the last couple of years for their style of play. But
dirtiest players in the league and all this
stuff. Exactly.
Hey, I talked to Butkus about this one time, about being called the dirtiest player in the league and all this, and he was infuriated because he said that his job as a linebacker was to get the football. End of story. And that, his criticism of Urlacher earlier in Urlacher's career was that he didn't lay the wood enough to get the ball out. And that, what Butkus is talking about with physical play is getting the ball on the ground. And you want guys, you want them, to look at the tape and to fear you when you come into it. You want to be frothing at the mouth and going after the ball and all the rest of it. Is it right? I mean, is it sensible? Is it polite or gentlemanly? Obviously not. But that's what the sport entails. And I just don't think people understand. But those hits, we get caught up in this comic book violence of, oh, what a hit. Those hits will shorten your career, your life, for God's sake.
No, I agree. But you know that as a football player. You know that anytime you make one of these hits, it could be done. You know the other guy could be done, too. But when you put that helmet on, it has a sticker on the back of it that basically tells you, look, you should not be doing this. This is bad for you. This is bad for your body to play this game. But you kind of develop that mentality, that win-at-all-cost mentality, and get wrapped up in that culture where you just buy into it. You go with it. You accept it. You believe you're immortal on the field, first of all. That's the first problem that I always think back from when I played. You believe you're immortal. Nothing can happen to you. Nothing bad can happen to you. And when you play defense, you like the fact that you can bend the rules a little bit. You do. That's what defensive players are. I mean, you get a defensive player next to an offensive player. They have different attitudes, different characteristics, because they play a different style on Sundays. And this story coming out, yeah, it's kind of opened the book a little bit on some of the nasty stuff that goes on. But that's what everyone does.
Yeah. Matt, thanks a ton. We appreciate your time.
All right, guys. Thank you.
That's always
Matt
a pleasure,
Bowen,
Matt.
From the Chicago Tribune and the National Football
League. And go to chicagotribune.com and read that column. It's probably the best read thing they had on there yesterday.